in and through the apostles with the Gentiles. And so they used the actions of the Holy Spirit that they had seen lately. They used the Bible and they used seeking God's face to find out what it was that they should decide about doctrine. And this morning, we're going to see a poor example of what to do, and therefore thereby learn from it, what to do when we disagree about opinions. We saw what to do when we disagree about doctrine, and now we're going to see what we should not do, and thereby learn from it, what to do when we disagree on opinions. Acts chapter 15, please, and verse 36. Uh-oh, I forgot to do the flip thing. Go ahead and go to the next picture, brother. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Let me flip one more. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the grace by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So we see an argument, a disagreement, if you will, a disagreement of an opinion on opinions between Barnabas and Paul. So what should we not do, and what should we do when disagreeing on opinions? Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the message. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this passage of Scripture, Lord. Thank you that you left it in here, even though two of your servants were in disagreement, and you could have left it out. But Father, you left it in there for us to learn by. And so we thank you for that. We ask your blessing on the message this morning. Father, I pray we would learn from this passage and apply the truths that we can procure from this to our lives. And Father, we just ask that you bless this time now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. First of all, as we see in this passage, I want us to note that many divisions occur between Christian friends. Many of the divisions that occur between Christian friends are over personal issues. And it's sad when Christian brothers and sisters divide over personal issues. The only issue or issues important enough to cause separation of fellowship are actually doctrinal issues. Doctrinal. We should not separate fellowship. We should not part asunder one from the other as far as friendship goes because of personal issues. The Lord wants us to work out our personal differences. Here, Paul has a personal issue with taking John Mark with them on their journey again. Paul's position was he thought it unwise to trust a man who failed previously on a similar journey and had proven himself to be unfaithful. If you go back to Acts chapter 13, in verse 13, Acts 13:13, on their first missionary journey, they had gone into the island of Cyprus. They had covered the island of Cyprus. And about the third city, John departed from them. Verse 13 says, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, which is in Cyprus, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." Okay, so we don't have any idea why John returned. Maybe his mother got sick. Maybe there was a family emergency. We don't know why. But it seems that Paul, his opinion was it wasn't important enough to have stopped his ministry, stopped going with them at that point, right when they were just getting going. Paul wanted John Mark to see it through, to stay with them for the whole time that they were on that trip. And by John Mark quitting in the middle, Paul's position was, well, he's unfaithful. He's like the man who has put his hand to the plow and looked back, if you will. And there is Scripture to back up this position. I want us to note that. There is Scripture to back up Paul's position. Turn with me to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. It's hard to argue with a person who has Scripture to back up their position, isn't it? Proverbs 25, verse 19, The Bible says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Okay, so perhaps Paul was thinking about this verse when considering to take on John Mark again for their second missionary journey. And he's thinking, well, I can't have confidence in this fella. I can't trust him fully with everything that's going on. He turned away from the work before, and he had this scripture to look to. So he has a scriptural position. He has a scriptural opinion, if you will. Barnabas, on the other hand, he thought that John Mark should be given another chance. Barnabas, as we know, he had the spirit of consolation. That's what his name means, son of consolation. Barnabas was ready to forgive and try again before Paul was ready to do that. Now, I want us to note that Paul did come to that place later on. Paul did come to the place where he forgave John Mark and where he trusted John Mark again. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 4:11. 2 Timothy 4:11, please. Okay? It's not that Paul was not going to come to that place. He was. He just wanted John Mark to prove himself to Paul. He wanted John Mark to prove himself again. And that is, again, a scriptural position that the missionary should not be a novice. They should be proven. They should be proven, okay? So this was an important thing that Paul was considering. And in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11, Paul has been re-impressed with John Mark. He says in verse 11, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." So it wasn't that Paul was unwilling to forgive or unwilling to try him out again at some point, to trust in him again at some point. It's just that John Mark had not proven himself to Paul yet again. And so he was unwilling to take him. Barnabas, though, was ready to forgive, ready to put his trust back in his nephew. Okay? Now that might be something that had to do with this. It may very well have been that Barnabas was ready to trust John Mark again so soon because of that exact thing. John Mark was his family, his extended family. And of course, that plays into my being willing to trust someone sooner than somebody else. I'd be willing to trust my family member sooner than a non-family member would be willing to trust my family member. So it makes perfect sense why this is going on. Barnabas, being the uncle of John Mark, is ready to put him to the test again. He's ready to trust him again. And there is scripture to back up Barnabas' position as well. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Okay, like I said before, it's hard to argue with a person who has scripture to back up their position. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." So Barnabas, I'm sure, wanted to take the opportunity to work with John Mark and disciple him a little bit more and give him another chance. Okay? Now I want us to notice, both these men had an opinion. Both these men had a scriptural backing for that opinion. Most arguments won't have that, okay? Most clashing opinions will not both have a scriptural backing to support them. Most arguments can, or opinions or disagreements, most arguments can and must be decided by submitting to scripture. Usually only one side of an argument is actually biblical. And the brother whose opinion is going against scripture must submit to the Lord, submit to God's word, and adjust his opinion to align with God's word. And that is primarily the most often case of how you settle differences of opinion. There's one brother whose opinion is not in agreement with God's word. And that brother must come to the place where he submits to God's word. Okay? However, in this case, both of these godly men, Paul and Barnabas, had an opinion backed up by God's Word. Okay? Now, this is a rare instance. This doesn't usually happen. Now, secondly, notice that the Antioch church, it does not appear to us in the passage. Go back to Acts chapter 15, please. It does not appear in this passage that the Antioch church jumped in and gave their opinion. Well, I believe it's very simple why they didn't, because they had heard the argument that they both had backing of Scripture. And so the Antioch church said, well, the Word of God is not clear. You two gentlemen are going to have to settle it on your own. You two gentlemen are going to have to settle it on your own. Let's read the passage again and see the silence regarding the church that they are working in. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. They are in Antioch of Syria. They are still working in their home church right now. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Notice that the church did not jump in to settle the argument, to settle the opinions. Why? Because it is not wise to take sides between two persons and their personal issues. Turn with me to Proverbs 26, please. Proverbs 26. What does the Bible say about two people arguing and having a fight, and somebody else or an entity, like a church, jumping in the middle of it? Proverbs 26, verse 17, the Bible says, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Okay, so there's these two gentlemen who have a difference of opinion. They're having a quarrel, and we're not sure how big the quarrel got. It seems like it might have been a pretty big quarrel, but it probably was more of a private quarrel, not brought before the church. The church probably knew about it, but the church decided, we're not going to get involved. These two godly men are going to have to settle their differences of opinion themselves. Because if we take one side or the other, we're going to be like grabbing a dog by the ears. And that dog was happy. That dog was maybe barking at us as we walked by his property. But he's not going to do anything to us unless we meddle with the strife belonging not to us. And take him by the ears and say, you be quiet, dog. Now what are you going to do? Well, I can't very well let go of this dog anymore. You know, it's kind of like taking a tiger by the tail. He would have left you alone until you took a cat or a tiger by the tail. And now you dare not let go. There's teeth on the other end, right? It's going to bite. So it is unwise to take sides between two persons having an argument, okay? This is how church splits start. One person has an argument with another person within the church. They aren't coming to an agreement, and so person A goes to person C and tells them all their woes. And he gets person C on his side. And now person C and A go to person B and say, look, we agree, you're wrong. Well, what does person B do? Well, he goes to person D and gets person D on his side, tells him all his woes, his side of the story, gets him on his side. And now pretty soon we have groups within a church at war with one another, disagreeing with one another, okay? This is how church splits start. One person gets another person involved and on their side. The other guy retaliates, drags another person onto his side. Pretty soon you have two factions beating one another, beating their heads together. And the two factions, for the most part, don't even really know why. The only two guys who actually know why we're fighting are the two guys that started the thing, right? That's usually how it goes. But when you get factions warring, what happens? Well, all the petty things that anybody ever had against somebody else gets thrown at the other guy, right? Stuff that had nothing to do with the original argument. I don't like the color of your skirt. What did that have to do with the argument? Nothing. But because we're at war, we'll just throw anything and everything in each other's face. And church splits, church breaks open because of two people getting others involved and others being willing to get involved. It's unwise to take sides between two persons and their personal disagreements. Okay? You see, God will forgive. God will give forgiveness and grace to the two persons that fought together, that had an issue. But He doesn't give that same grace to the outsiders. He doesn't give that same grace to the outsiders who jump in and grab that dog by the ears. Okay? It wasn't their business. And there are thousands of Christians today who are holding a grudge because they took up the fight that somebody else was fighting and they made it their fight. And guess what happened? The two persons that started the fight and had a problem with each other, well, they've forgiven each other a long time ago. They're over it. They have no problem with each other. But person C, who took up the fight, God didn't give him that same grace to forgive those that were involved. It wasn't his fight, and so now he has a grudge that he can't get over like the first two because God didn't give him the same grace. It's unwise to get involved. And you can, if you do this, get involved in somebody else's fight, you can be bitter for the rest of your life at somebody who you weren't actually fighting with originally. Okay? So don't do this. This is why the church here did not get involved. Both men had a scriptural position. Both men needed to work this out between themselves. Okay, go back please to Acts chapter 15. Acts 15. Now, with both men having scripture to back up their position, you and I, as sideliners, bystanders, cannot say that either man was wrong. Okay? We cannot say for sure that Paul was right or Barnabas was right and the other guy was wrong. We don't know. Except, look at verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them. Ah. Now here is where both of the men went wrong. It was not wrong. Notice it was not wrong for Paul to have his opinion. It was not wrong for Barnabas to have his opinion. What was wrong was to come at odds and fight about that opinion, those two opinions. That was what was wrong. The contention was so sharp between them. Also, another thing that we can point out that looks to me like it was wrong was the silence on something, the silence in Scripture on something that every Christian should do immediately when there's a disagreement with somebody else. Any young person know what I'm talking about. That this passage of Scripture is silent, does not say Paul or Barnabas did this one very needful thing about this issue. Anybody have any idea what I'm talking about? Prayed. That's right. It does not say Paul or Barnabas prayed about it. Now, I don't know if they did or not. They very likely could have. But if they did not, that was a problem as well. There was an error again on their part. Okay? Again, the problem was not that Paul and Barnabas disagreed. They both had scripture to back up their opinion. It was not wrong either to go and separate and work in separate fields, separate harvest fields, separate missionary fields, in other words. It wasn't wrong to do that. The only wrong that appears to have happened was disagreeing so sharply and not praying about it. You see, disagreeing sharply with another Christian over a difference of opinion is a very bad testimony to others, both to other Christians and to lost people who hear about it. When Christian brothers disagree over an opinion, the first thing that we should do is go to prayer. We should seek the leading of the Holy Spirit immediately, especially when there's a verse to back up his opinion and there's verses to back up his opinion. You need to seek the leading of the Holy Spirit immediately now. It appears from the wording of our text that the dialogue between Paul and Barnabas became somewhat heated. The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. This is an evidence of the lack of the Holy Spirit's control. Both men got out of hand, it looks like. Lack of the Spirit's control, yet that is exactly what they needed to be Spirit-controlled and Spirit-filled. Once they had established that they had very differing opinions on the subject, and after establishing that both had Scripture to back up their opinion, their belief, then they should have gone to prayer to ask the Lord, what is your will in this situation? What are you trying to show us? What are you trying to tell us? I have Scripture to back up my opinion. He has Scripture to back up his opinion. Lord, why do we have separate opinions on this matter? Please show us. That should have been their response, not to keep butting heads and argue about this thing. And I believe the answer to the question could and would have been shown them by the Holy Spirit if they had sought His leading. I believe the answer is the Lord was leading them in two separate directions. I believe the Lord was leading them in two different directions. Okay? We'll get back to that in a second. But we must remember, as when we come up against differing opinions, that other believers will happen. Expect it. Why? Because we have different backgrounds. We have different personalities. We have different spiritual gifts. You know, a person who is merciful and has the gift of mercy will be more likely to want to share that gift of mercy than the fellow with the gift of teaching. Okay? So so a mercy person will want to show mercy before a teacher will want to show mercy. We need to be aware of that. There are different spiritual gifts. There are different levels of spiritual maturity. Even different jobs to do within the Lord's work. And so looking at things differently than another believer does not automatically make the other believer wrong. It does not automatically make the other believer wrong, especially when they have Bible to back up their opinion. We need to remember that there is liberty. There is liberty in the operation of the doctrines of the Bible. Doctrine is not compromisable. You may not compromise. It's not up for debate. It is set in stone. It's the Word of God. We cannot adjust doctrine. But there is liberty in the operation, how we perform and obey the doctrine of the Bible. You see, the Bible is not 100% specific on how to do things. It says, go ye into all the world. But it doesn't say, go around and raise support or get one church to support you fully. It doesn't say that. It says, just go into all the world. You figure out how to do it. Okay? It commands us to do many things, but leaves the how to the individual churches. For instance, we are told to observe the Lord's Supper in remembrance of the Lord Jesus, right? This is one of the ordinances of the church, that and baptism. The two ordinances of the church. We're supposed to do it. We are supposed to observe the Lord's Supper. Some churches pass one cup, okay, for everyone to drink from. How'd you like to do that? Sound good?
Ew.
Okay, but like our church, we pass multiple cups so we all get our own little cup. Is either church wrong? No, the Bible is silent. Neither church is wrong in the operation of observing the Lord's Supper. They're different. It's a different opinion. But neither one is wrong. Okay? That's what happened here. They had a differing opinion, but neither one was wrong. If they had sought the Lord's leading properly and fully, I believe they would have come to the conclusion that Barnabas wants to take John Mark because God wants a new team. God wants two teams, not one. And he's putting it on Barnabas' heart to take John Mark as his team member. Oh, there was a simple explanation. In hindsight, and of course we have hindsight because we have the whole story, this looks from all appearances like it was the leading of the Lord. Why? Because in the end, the problem, their differing opinion, this quarrel, the problem resulted in a blessing. John Mark was restored to the Lord's work. John Mark was further discipled by Barnabas. John Mark later became fruitful to the Lord and to Paul in missionary work, and also by writing the Gospel of Mark. Now, if Barnabas hadn't taken him under his wing and did what Barnabas was being led to do by the Lord, we might not have the Gospel of Mark today. Who knows whether John Mark would have come to that place where he was godly enough for the Lord to use him in that way. Okay? John Mark certainly must have benefited here by understanding that one man wanted to forgive him and another man thought he should grow up. Okay, both of those opinions were good for John Mark to hear, wasn't it? One man thought, I could work with you and help you grow. Another man said, you need to grow up, son. This was good for John Mark to hear. He must have benefited both from the encouragement of Barnabas and the reproof of Paul to become trustworthy, because he took it to heart and he became trustworthy one day. The missionary also, so the problem resulted in a blessing, and also the missionary endeavor of the Antioch church. It was a blessing to John Mark, but it was also a blessing to the endeavors of the church, because now they weren't sending out one team, they were sending out two. Okay? The effort of the church was doubled by this one team dividing and becoming two teams. The missionary work became lighter for both teams to do. We're told that Barnabas and John Mark sails west into Cyprus, and Barnabas and John start their second missionary journey where Barnabas and Paul began their first missionary journey. So Barnabas is taking care of the southern half of what they had covered. And we read that Paul chose Silas and departed. He went through Syria and Cilicia. So he went through his hometown of Tarsus, most likely, and headed into Asia Minor. So he went north and northwest to cover the northwest territory that they had covered before. So the work was lightened for the missionaries because they had become two teams. Now the two men, it says here, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. Now I do believe that this phrase, departed asunder, does not mean that Paul and Barnabas departed in friendship. I do not believe they severed their friendship, because that would have been a big issue. That would have been something the church would have had to deal with, these two men fighting and these two men not having any more fellowship together. They would not have been qualified to be missionaries if that was the case. So these two men did not depart asunder in friendship, but the phrase is talking about they decided to quit partnering as a missionary team. They decided to quit partnering as a missionary team, and like they did, they formed two teams. This quarrel was certainly not the way God wanted two teams to get formed, okay? But this does look like what the Lord wanted them to do. He put it upon Barnabas' heart to take John Mark. He put it upon Paul, you know, I don't want to be involved with John Mark. What is the easy solution? Well, guess what? Two teams, that sounds like a good solution. It looks like what the Lord intended them to do. Probably, I believe, if they had spent more time in prayer, which that's what is lacking in the story, is prayer. If they had spent more time in prayer, the Lord may have given each of them peace and shown them why God had given each of them a different opinion on the matter. We should seek after God's leading, okay? when the rare instance occurs that two people have differing opinions, but they both have Scripture to back them up, we're going to have to go to prayer and seek God's leading. Why do these two brothers have a different opinion? They both have Scripture. It both makes perfect sense. But why can't they agree? Maybe the Lord is leading in different directions. Maybe the Lord is leading in some different thing that they should do differently than they have done before. God can have multiple reasons. Excuse me. God can have multiple reasons why He wants another opinion tossed in the ring. He might just have another job He wants someone to do. He might have it within the church. He might have a ministry within the church He wants somebody to partake of and start. Or it could be that there's a ministry beyond the church that needs done, like a missionary endeavor like this was. So we need to seek God's face when there's differing opinions, but Scripture backs both up. And if there's an opinion that does not have Scripture, that brother must just come to the place where he submits to God's Word and changes his opinion to align with God's Word. So we can learn how to come to an agreement on opinions here because of the story here of Paul and Silas. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for Your Word. Father, I pray that we would not have contention in our church, Lord, but that we would be able to come to agreement, come to a decision, Father, based on Your Word. And if opinions, Lord, are biblical and can't come to an agreement, Father, I pray that You would show us where You're leading and why is it that You've given an opinion, two different opinions to two men. Lord, I pray that You bless this message. Help us to learn from it. In Jesus' name, amen.